May it please the Court, Your Honors, Daniel Casillas appearing on behalf of the appellant Benita Rodriguez. Your Honors, in this case, the question is not whether the car in this vehicle, whether the car my client was driving was seized, as the government may argue, because clearly it was. In fact, the district court judge even found that it was seized.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that there's no question that the car was seized when the officer merely pulled up behind a parked car and cut on his emergency lights? There's no question?
I'm saying that is correct. I am saying that. And I'm saying that.
What authority are you relying upon for that?
Your Honor, the fact of the matter is that the district court judge found and I submitted...
The question Judge Hudson asked is what case are you relying on to say that it is unquestionably seized?
Your Honor, the case that I'm relying on, well, actually I'm distinguishing the case that the government cites, and that is I don't have the case on the top of my head, but it's the case where the officer pulls up and sees a distressed vehicle on the side of the road.
That's not a seizure, but what's the case that says it is a seizure?
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. This is based on the Fourth Amendment where
Wait a minute. Back up a minute. When did the seizure take place?
Well, Your Honor, I submit that the seizure took place when the officer activated his lights and exercised its authority over the occupants of the vehicle.
But the vehicle did not stop as a result of that. The vehicle was stopped. It was parked. The officer merely pulled up, cut his lights on, and walked up to the vehicle.
Well,
historically, if you look back on the cases, and I'm anxious to hear your authority on this, I can't find one case where a vehicle comes to a complete stop and an officer pulls up behind, activates their lights, that a seizure occurs. I mean, even this court has held that the seizure in a trap case like that did not occur until the officer took the driver's license and registration of the occupant. Really walking up and asking questions like that, I don't think any court's ever found that to be a seizure. Point to something.
Well, I think in this case that the authority for that is that whether the person had whether the person felt that they could leave the scene. I don't think that the government can argue that after the officer activated his lights, that my client, being the driver of the vehicle, could then have pulled away without the officer going after and saying, you left under my color of authority. He had activated his lights, and now the officer would have had those reasons, that ground, to stop the vehicle because he had already activated his lights in an effort to seize that vehicle.
No more of a show of authority than a police officer in his or her uniform, displaying their badge, carrying their firearm, walks up to you and says, sir, may I ask you a few questions? And the Supreme Court and this court has firmly held that that is not a seizure at that point.
Well, I think this is more because of the fact that the vehicle was parked in front of a residence. So this is more akin to as if you pulled up in front of your residence, parked, and a police officer comes up behind you, activates his lights. He is exercising his authority at that point in time exercise the authority after that vehicle. It's unlike...
If it blocks the driveway and you can't pull out, but we don't have that here.
Well, I think this is unlike and it's distinguishable from the case where there's a vehicle appears to be in distress with the hood up on the side of the road, where the officer comes by, activates his lights to perhaps indicate to traffic that there's some distressed vehicle here on the road. There was no reason for the officer to activate his lights at this point in time. He could have merely pulled up behind the vehicle, got out of the vehicle, and questioned the occupants. But no, he didn't do that. He specifically activated his lights. In this case, I think the more critical question is, what did the officer know before he did that? And the standard for that is that did he have a particularized and objective basis for suspecting legal wrongdoing of the particular person or car in this particular case? I think the best place to go for that is to examine the Border Patrol agent's report at the time of the arrest. In fact, on May 5th, he wrote a report where he basically says, well, I'm by the checkpoint looking at traffic, and I see a vehicle.
A lot preceded that, though. In this case, there was a Border Patrol agent that saw this vehicle pulled up at a known stash house.
Suspected
stash house, okay. Saw individuals get out of the car. Saw people, what appeared to be the door opening, and he couldn't see individuals getting in, but it appeared someone was getting in a stealth fashion.
I'll agree that there were a number of things that happened before right. that, but that goes towards the be on the lookout report that was submitted or put out later.
Right.
But I want to go, and I'll get to that. I want to get to the fact of the matter is that the officer, the Border Patrol agent, basically after the arrest writes a report, and what does he say? He says, "Well, as common practice, Border Patrol agents routinely check vehicles turning on Frink Road, which is the road that this vehicle he saw my client driving turned down." So that's all he says, and he says, I decided to go after that vehicle and check on it. That's the only evidence that he has at that point in time. That's the only evidence that he submits in his arrest report. It's only 4 months later when the government asks him for a subsequent declaration. Then he mentions, well, by the way, yeah, there was also a Be On The Lookout report that was received at the checkpoint.
Well, when the officer began to follow the car, am I correct that the driver sped up in the car?
There's the officer says that the car was, I don't know if it was termed as sped up, but he doesn't say the car was speeding. He doesn't say the people in the car saw him and sped up. He makes no indication of any kind of illegal kind of criminal activities. He says, well, the car was kind of speeding down the road, made a quick left turn, turned into a mobile home park. I saw somebody get out of the car, running into the mobile home park, which we find out because she had to use the restroom, and that's the evidence that he presents. He doesn't say, well, the people in the vehicle saw me. He doesn't even say how many people are in the vehicle. He doesn't know how many people are in the vehicle.
Because there was so much dust being emitted from the road that the officer couldn't see the interior of the car, right?
Apparently. Right. And I think he was probably at some distance behind the vehicle because he also indicates I wasn't able to catch up to it, essentially.
Right.
Although I wanted to, you know, check on this vehicle. My point is that I don't think that the declaration that which was written 4 months after the fact is credible, because he would have mentioned the fact that he's had the Be On The Lookout report and or he acted upon it in his arrest report. He did not mention that at all. And in fact, after reading the declaration a little bit closer, basically all he says in the declaration is that yes, now in September, 4 months after the arrest, he says, now looking back on it, there was a Be On The Lookout report at the time of the incident. He doesn't say he saw it. He doesn't say he relied on it. He doesn't say he paid any attention to it. He doesn't say anything of that at the time as for his grounds for going after this vehicle or suspecting this vehicle. So I don't think...
The trial court that reviewed Officer Velasquez's testimony credited it, did it not? Didn't he credit the officer's testimony?
It was a declaration. I want to point that out. It was a declaration. There was not an evidentiary hearing. There was no testimony given. There was not an opportunity for cross-examination of that we may have cleared that up. The court did take that into consideration. I think at the time, we all read it as there was a Be On The Lookout report, and I acted upon that Be On The Lookout report. However, reading it more closely, that's not what the declaration says. The declaration just says, now today on September that I write this declaration, I do note that we did receive a Be On The Lookout report back in May on that date. Once again, that's pretty much the addition that what he says to his report here. He doesn't say, I read that report, I acted upon it.
I didn't see that in your brief.
Correct. Right. It's
okay.
That's why we're here today.
I think we understand your position. If you want to reserve any time.
Yes, I do. Okay. Thank you.
Steve Miller for the United States. With the first point appellant made with regard to whether or not this was a seizure, the question here is whether or not the court addressed it as whether it was to be a seizure. On Excerpt of Records 22, the court said, in its factual findings. At that point, he pulled up behind the gray Toyota, turned on his overhead lights, and got out of his marked Border Patrol vehicle. Then, in response for the argument in connection with this case, with those agreed-upon findings, which will play into a point into his next point, I pointed out, furthermore, stated in my last portion of my papers, there is no independent action to which the defendant yielded. She stopped, and then after she stopped, the agent then made contact with her and then made observations of the alien. So it was not the agent's conduct that caused her to stop. In response to that, on Excerpt of Records 25, the next page, the court addressed whether this was a seizure and stated he was perfectly within his rights to contact the occupants of the parked vehicle and determine citizenship. And once they determined that they were not in this country legally, he of course had probable cause to make an arrest. So in this case, the district court did address whether or not this was a seizure. Now, what is being argued is a credibility determination of the seizing agent, and which was not addressed before the district court. It was agreed upon facts, and that the position of advocacy by the appellant was that whatever it is that Agent Vasquez did was insufficient for him to contact, or in his position was to stop Ms. Rodriguez. So
may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Here? Are you distinguishing between the people in the car and Ms. Rodriguez, who had already gone into the house to go to the bathroom?
Let me clarify. Ms. Rodriguez was driving the car.
Yes.
Ms. Hale was a co-defendant. And then when Ms. Rodriguez stopped the car in front of the, I believe it was a mobile home or a residence, Ms. Hale got out and went to the restroom. And Ms. Rodriguez was with the car. So she had parked the car. Ms. Hale had gone to the restroom. And at that time, while the Border Patrol agent was trying to catch up and confirm whether or not this is the gray Corolla that he was on the lookout for, he pulled up behind the car. The car had already stopped. It was at that time they turned on the overhead lights and then walked to the car, saw the people. I believe two of them were being concealed and one was sitting upright, and then directly contacted the occupants of that car, learned that they were not citizens and had no right to be in the United States, and then contacted Ms. Rodriguez. So after he confirmed that the people whom she was transporting didn't have a right, that they were in fact living contraband, then he had probable cause to arrest Ms. Rodriguez. So I think we're distinguishing between Ms. Hale having to go to the bathroom and Ms. Rodriguez staying with the car.
Your position is what? Was the car free to leave after the lights were turned on?
Well, my position is that that there is no seizure because it was already stopped. And
you can't see something that stopped?
No, that under the case law, that merely putting on lights behind a stopped car does not equate to a seizure.
Are any of those cases other than where the police were trying to help the people in the car, where the cars were stopped on the side of the road or needed emergency problems?
No other cases come to mind.
Are there any cases like this, either way?
Yes, but...
Are there any cases?
No, none that come to mind.
Either way on this?
No, not that I'm aware of. But in this case, even if this was not a seizure, there was, in a view
there was
of
reasonable
all the
facts, suspicion.
Oh, yes. And there is no dispute, there was no probable cause to arrest Ms. Rodriguez until after he confirmed that the occupants were in fact contraband. But be this a seizure or not a seizure, there's still, under a holistic examination of all the facts, reasonable suspicion. We have observations of a suspected stash house Two people go in, two people go out. There's one of two possibilities. I mean, two people go in, five people go out. One of two possibilities. Either they loaded up the car in a way that was concealed, or the people were already hiding. The car drove away, stopped at a house, and then turned down a dirt road that was toward a checkpoint. They called out and said, be on the lookout for a gray Toyota. And then the agent saw the gray Corolla, turned down a road that they knew was a way to bypass the checkpoint 150 yards away. So at that time, the agent was entitled to go and investigate further whether or not that was the gray Toyota that had been observed at the stash house. Then, again, we then have one of two options. If she knew that the agent was behind her, then she sped up to evade, and that would have increased the reasonable suspicion. If she did not, and she stopped merely to let her passenger use the restroom, then it's not a seizure. But under all the circumstances, there was reasonable suspicion. And the one key element here is, unlike the other reasonable suspicion cases where they're talking about dry observations, they had the additional fact that this one had been specifically involved with suspected stash house.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd just like to respond briefly. I want to point out that in the excerpts of the record at page 12, what the district court judge stated, and he says, at that point, counsel are in agreement that Agent Velasquez is the one who seized the car on Frank Road, which is commonly used to avoid the highway 111 checkpoint. This was the first hearing that we had on the motion to suppress. The quote that government counsel gave, which was on page 22, was the second hearing that we had, which the district court judge was stating his statements after taking into consideration the declaration, the supplemental declaration written by Agent Velasquez, where he says, I did go back and, well, he didn't say went back and looked, but he basically says there was a beyond the lookout report for this gray Toyota Corolla. That's he, once again, my point is that I think that he was taking it into account, saying, well, giving the officer credence that he acted upon that beyond the lookout report, he had reason, no suspicion, to follow up and question those passengers. However, once again, if we look carefully at the declaration, the officer never says that he acted upon that beyond the lookout report, and or that he was even aware of it at the time that he went after this vehicle. So I think that all the factors that government counsel points out and the court is concerned about that happened before Agent Velasquez saw that vehicle go on Fink Road, the fact that maybe it was at a suspected stash house, maybe there's people coming in. There's no evidence that Agent Velasquez knew any of that information.
Okay. You have used your time.
Thank you.
The case just argued is submitted for decision, and the court will now take a 10-minute recess.
All rise.